Have you ever known anybody who always has trouble making up their mind? Somebody who just struggles to decide where to go, what to do, what to say, how to act, what to buy, what to wear. Somebody you might classify as indecisive, hesitant, irresolute, somebody who's always vacillating. In their infancy, the nation of Israel serves as an example of this behavior. How badly they wanted to escape from Egypt, and once that became a reality, every time trouble came their way, they decided they wanted to go back to Egypt again. In Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters." In Matthew 12, verse 30, he says, "He who is not with me is against me." Jesus is calling people to make a decision. He's calling people to be decisive about serving him. We have some colorful expressions for indecisiveness. We call it being wishy-washy. We talk about somebody hemming and hawing. We say they are beating around the bush or they're straddling the fence. It's a miserable condition to be in, to not be able to make up your mind on a very important issue, like a chicken trying to cross the road. Anybody ever seen that? I actually looked that up on YouTube. They don't have anything any good on there. I mean, I was surprised, really. If you've ever seen it in real life, they go back and forth, and they're frantic, and they don't know which way to go. And sometimes we may find ourselves being that way, and as I said, that's an unpleasant situation to find yourself in. In the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, Jesus describes some people as having no root. He tells about those who received the seed, which would be the word, on stony places. He goes on to say, "This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Some people are unstable. Paul said in Ephesians 4:14, "We should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." James chapter 1 and verse 8 talks about one who is double-minded. And James says this person is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. He is unstable in all his ways. In spiritual matters, as in many matters of the world, the inability to make necessary decisions, and more importantly, the inability to stick to them, is dangerous and is potentially devastating. We need to be able to make serious decisions, and we need to be able to stay committed to them. God challenges us to choose. God challenges us to decide to obey him. In Joshua's farewell speech at Shechem in Joshua 24:15, he called on the nation of Israel saying, "Choose this day, decide this day whom you will serve." He was telling them to make up their minds, to decide, to make a choice. Centuries later, the prophet Elijah called on the nation of Israel, saying, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him." It's been said that the imagery here in the expression, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" is a metaphor taken from birds hopping from branch to branch. We would say, just make up your mind. Choose something and stick with it. But Israel did that again and again and again, deciding to follow, then turning away, deciding to follow, then turning away, ad infinitum. A one-time decision is insufficient if you keep changing it. Faithfulness requires continual determination, resoluteness, decisiveness. The problem with many, even many Christians, is that they've never fully made up their minds about serving God, about truly turning their lives over to Him in every respect. We may decide, but then we put off. We delay. We hesitate. Remember Felix in Acts 24, verse 25, when he tells Paul, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." One-time governor of Illinois from 1949 to 1953, Adlai Stevenson, once wrote, "On the plains of hesitation lie the blackened bones of countless millions who at the dawn of victory sat down to rest and resting died." Someone has said it more succinctly, "He who hesitates loses." Hesitating or refusing to choose, in fact, is making a choice. Being indecisive about serving and obeying God really ends up being the same thing as being openly hostile towards God. Our characters are the cumulative product of every little choice we have made. And I emphasize little sardonically, because when it comes to decisions that affect eternity, there are no little choices. We are the product of the choices that we've made. Not many people set out with the malignant intent, with the express purpose to defy God, to shake their fist at Him, to be offensive to the ruler of the universe. But following the path of least resistance, taking the easy way out, making the choice that requires the least sacrifice, ends up being the same thing as fighting against God. Either we have submitted ourselves to God or we have not. There is no middle ground. Our characters are many times formed by default rather than by decision, but they are formed just the same. Consider Galatians 6, verse 1. Paul says, "If a man is overtaken in any trespass," the word "overtaken" describes someone who's been caught off guard. Not an intentional misstep, yet it produced the same results as if it had been planned. The Hebrew writer describes something similar when he talks about the danger of drifting away through neglect. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Around 500 BC, the Greek philosopher Heraclitus said, "A man's character is his fate or his destiny." For most of us, our stories can be written long before we die. Just watch the choices someone makes regarding friends, regarding entertainment, regarding how they spend their time, and you can predict where they're going to end up 10 to 20 years from now. We may have become what we are by hesitation, by indecision, by postponement and procrastination rather than by purpose. But the results, the discouragement, the disillusionment, and the reward is still the same. It's been said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions without the fortitude or the discipline, the decisiveness, the determination to carry out those intentions. Our indecision when it comes to doing what God has said, our refusal to choose to do the right thing, is an offensive insult to the Lord. Christ's statement to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, 15 and 16 shows that the uncommitted are nauseating to God. He said, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." On one occasion, in responding to people who showed a half-hearted interest in following him, Christ made it clear that failing to make a decisive choice makes us unfit for the kingdom. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62 says, "It happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But that man said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Ultimately, there is no middle ground. A choice must be made. Not to decide for the Lord is to decide against him. Again, Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters." Matthew 12:30, "He who is not with me is against me." Peter underscored this truth, this need to be decisive, to make up our minds, to choose something firmly. When he said in 1 Peter 1:13, "To gird up the loins of your mind." In first century language, this meant that the reader should literally gather up his long flowing garments and be ready for physical action. The New International Version is helpful in rendering this, "Prepare your minds for action." Robert Schuller once said, "Again and again, the impossible problem is solved when we see that the problem is only a tough decision waiting to be made." In this regard, we see some exemplary behavior from some unexemplary people. For example, in Luke 16, when he found himself in a very undesirable situation, the unjust steward said, "I have resolved, I have decided what I must do." In the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, we are told that when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness, and he raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. When the text said that he set his face, it speaks of determination. It speaks of resolve. He had made up his mind. When the prodigal son hit bottom in Luke chapter 15, when all the options had run out, when there was no place left to turn, the text says he came to himself And then it goes on to express his determination, his decision to straighten his life out. We need to resolve to do what is right and to be faithful, not just because we feel like it, not because we've run out of options, not because there's no place left to turn. We need to resolve to do right and to be faithful because it is the right thing to do. What decisions are we putting off concerning daily Bible study and prayer, concerning personal evangelism and edification, concerning repairing wrongs and broken relationships, concerning turning back to the Lord and obeying the gospel? Unmade decisions are ticking time bombs. We need to remember that God gave us volition. He gave us free will. He gave us power of choice, and that He expects us to use it to follow Him. Thus, choose this day whom you will serve. The very core of the gospel demands a choice, not only initially, but continually. Who are you going to obey? Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to live for? We need to appreciate the fact that Jesus had to choose to die for us. We're told that He could have called 12 legions of angels, somewhere between 50 and 70,000 angels. Remember that Jesus never asks us to do more for Him than He willingly did for us. Philippians 2 verse 8 says, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And in Matthew 16, 24, He said, If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Maybe you need to make a choice right now. Maybe you need to make a choice that is a choice that you can make within your own mind, within your own heart, something that you need to resolve between you and the Lord, committing yourself more firmly to Him. Maybe you need to make a choice that involves dealing with something in a person in a public way. Maybe you need to make a decision to put Christ on in baptism, to turn your life over to Him. If there's something you need to do at this time, please make that choice before it's too late.